Embrace the Word for Friday, July 10, 2026. Embracing Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is perhaps the darkest psalm in the Psalter. Unlike most every other psalm of deep distress and sorrow, Psalm 88 does not end with a resolution of hope. The superscription offers important insight into the psalm, but it does not suggest any historical context. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah, to the choir master, according to Mahalath Lenoth, a maskil of Haman the Ezrahite. This psalm by Haman the Ezrahite, possibly one of the sons of Korah, thus a Levite, and one of the men appointed by David for directing temple worship and prophetic instruction, see 1 Chronicles 25, 1-6, or Haman the Ezrahite could be from Judah as a son of Azorah, and is mentioned alongside Ethan the Ezrahite, who is referenced in the superscription of Psalm 88, both men of renowned wisdom. It is hard to say for sure which Haman is referenced here in Psalm 88. If the Haman of Psalm 88 is a son of Zerah, then the mention of the sons of Korah could refer to the psalm being a collaborative effort. Touching on the rest of the superscription details, the term Mahalath is either the musical instrumentation that the psalm was to be played to, or it identifies the musical setting. The term Lenoth is hard to say, but it could allude to the song being sung in a mood of humility or in a downcast state. And the term Maskil in this psalm probably highlights the wisdom which this psalm reveals. Psalm 88 shares many terms with Psalm 86, as well as several connections to Psalm 84. Psalm 88 seems to be structured around the three times in which the psalmist cries out to the Lord with no answer. 88:1, 9, and 13. Psalm 88 opens with a desperate but persistent cry to the Lord. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. 88:1-2. Haman has cried out to the Lord day and night. He has sought the Lord, and with great intensity he appeals for a hearing before the Lord. Haman is in great distress. And yet, Haman's cries are not cries of absolute distress, for he appeals to the God of my salvation, the one whom he lives in covenant relationship with, as noted by calling him Lord. Haman is not looking anywhere else for help to come, but relying upon all the promises and purposes that God has ensured for his people. Note that as the darkness of this psalm unfolds, no matter how forsaken Haman feels, he still interprets the depths of his distress through the assurance that he can call upon the Lord. Even as Haman feels forsaken, he knows that he is not forsaken. But as Haman describes his distress in greater detail, the intensity of his experience is made more clear. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. 88:3-5. Haman uses a dark irony in describing his experiences. He opens by saying that his soul is full of troubles. Literally, Haman states that he is satisfied in his distress. Not satisfied as it normally means in a positive and fulfilling way, but more along the lines of having more than enough, more than he'd wish. For Haman feels as if he is dying and about to reach the place of death. As Haman describes his experience of being on the edge of death, he states, like one set loose among the dead. The ideal of set loose conveys being set free. But in this context, there is a great irony once again. Haman is experiencing a horrible freedom. He feels as though he is free to go anywhere he wants, as long as it is among the dead. He feels as though he is like one lying slain in the grave. Haman feels spent. All his strength is gone. And even worse, Haman feels as though the Lord no longer remembers him, that is, no longer providing watch over him and loving him. Haman is saying that it is like he has been forgotten and abandoned by the Lord beyond any sense of hope. Even though he has not provided any historical details, Haman has expressed how he feels in the midst of his deep distress and sorrow. In a word, Haman feels as though he's dead. What Haman has described is not simply death, but something more akin to the horrors of hell. One of the great horrors of hell is the realization that only God can put someone there. Thus, Haman continues, "You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves." Selah. "You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow." 88:6-9. Haman states that the Lord has put him in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Haman is describing a state of profound misery, a condition of utter dismay, an experience of intense darkness. As Haman moves from where God has placed him to why God has placed him there, he explains, "Your wrath lies heavy upon me." Implicit in acknowledging God's wrath, Haman is acknowledging his sin and his guilt. For God's wrath is his settled, holy, and just anger against sinners. Haman likens such wrath as an unbearable weight crushing him, but also like an overwhelming wave of a flood of judgment that is drowning him. Haman admits that the Lord has distanced all of his companions to be far from him. He is like an abomination to them, and therefore has no way of escape. Haman is expressing that he is forlorn, forsaken, and forgotten. But remember, he prays to the Lord, the God of his salvation. "Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you." 88:9. Similar to verse 1, this now repeated urgent plea is stressing Haman's persistence. As Haman prays, he inquires of the Lord with three questions. "Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you?" Selah. "Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" 88:10-13. Rehearsing his experience of feeling as though he is on the edge of death and would soon be dead, Haman appeals to the Lord to let him go on living that he might continue to praise the Lord. As a side note, Haman understands that the purpose of life, the reason for life, is to glorify God by seeing the wonders of God, declaring the wonders of God, and praising the wonders of God. God's wonders are his mighty acts, such as redeeming and preserving his people, as well as judging his enemies. God's wonders are simply an extension of his steadfast love, faithfulness, and righteousness. Haman proposes that if he were to die, he would cease to see God's wonders and therefore not be in a position to praise him. Haman appeals to the Lord Haman appeals to the Lord is that if he dies and stays dead, then the praise that the Lord deserves will not go forth. Put conversely, if Haman were allowed to live, then he would continue to see the glorious wonders of God, and therefore he would praise the Lord, declare the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness, and also acknowledge the Lord's righteousness on the earth. Haman wants to go on living, and in living he knows what to do. Haman states his third cry in the midst of his distress. But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. 88:13. Haman is emphatically crying out to the Lord. Perhaps the mention of in the morning suggests a note of hope. But the distress is still profound. Haman asks yet another question. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? 88:14. In asking why, Haman is not disputing with the Lord as much as he is seeking to understand the purpose behind all that he has experienced. Haman is recognizing God's hand in all that has unfolded, but what has been the most distressful is the thought that the Lord had rejected him, hiding his face from him. Haman knows the character of the Lord as he is trying to reconcile his awareness of Exodus 34:6-7 with what he is experiencing. So Haman is appealing to what he knows the Lord is like as a God full of steadfast love and mercy. Yet Haman restates his situation. He is afflicted, attacked, alone, and abandoned. Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friends to shun me. My companions have become darkness. 88:15-18. Note the acute terms that Haman highlights. He suffers your terrors. He is helpless. The Lord's wrath has swept over him. He feels destroyed by the Lord's dreadful assaults, surrounded by a flood of God's wrath, has had all his closest loved ones run off by the Lord, and is currently living with one companion. Darkness. There is no happy ending put forward to conclude this psalm. Haman concludes in a horrific, terrible, lonely, and dark place. As we reflect on Psalm 88, we can consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is qualified to truly sympathize with Haman. Jesus knows Haman's experience, for he too was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. See Isaiah 53:3. Jesus tasted an even fuller measure of being afflicted, attacked, alone, and abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? See Matthew 27:46. Therefore, Jesus understands. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. See Hebrews 4:15. When in darkness, look to Jesus. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. See Hebrews 5:8-9. Jesus was forsaken that his people could be comforted, made a curse that his people would be blessed, bore his people's sins on the cross so that his people would be pardoned and adopted as well-loved children, suffered outside the camp to bring his people into the Lord's presence. Jesus knows the way out of darkness, and he will bring all who are his out with him. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, July 10, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, July 13, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 89.